We've been going through a series called How to Be a Mature Church. And Paul the Apostle is writing in response to a letter he received while he's at Ephesus. And in this letter, he kind of divides it up into four sections. And the first section that we've been in is, how do we deal with division in the church? And last week we heard about having our gospel lenses on and my obsession with polarized lenses, and I can see you guys very clearly because of my polarized lens. And we are ending our section of division today. And I just want to recap and remind everyone that there's a couple points that Paul makes that are crucial to keep unity in the body of Christ and the unity amongst each other as families and friends outside of the church and in the church. Paul reminds us that there is no unity within community without the Holy Spirit. So if we're united under the Holy Spirit, we're in a good place. Also, he reminds us not to lean on our own wisdom, but on God's wisdom and seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And he reminds us that you and I, we're not enemies. We're not rivals in the ministry. We are co-workers in the ministry. We each have our own strengths and talents to uplift the gospel and equip the saints for the ministry. And not lastly, but the second before last we talked about last week is everything we want to build on is the right foundation. It's the foundation of the gospel, the foundation of the scriptures. And this week we're going to talk about the importance of faithfulness. But before we get in, the division in the church was by the Corinth church were uplifting different leaders, Paul, Apollos, and Cephas, and it kind of turned into this popularity contest. Now with us, we definitely can see that happen in the church today, but I wanted to talk about some division issues that we are encountering right here, right now, super real. There's an inability to have civil discourse with anyone. Almost, it seems like. It seems like all we want to do is make sure that our opinion gets out and that our opinion is right, no matter what the other opinion is. And we can't meet in the middle to speak together and find common solutions to common problems. We're just more worried about that I'm right and you're wrong, or you're right and I'm wrong. And not only that, so there's this unhealthy discourse within our society, and that can seep into the church ever so slightly. And then there's this issue about, am I a masker or am I an anti-masker, right? I just want to thank everyone who decided to, who helped this morning pivot and get us out here so that we wouldn't all have to wear masks on the inside. But these things can cause division in the church. I've ran into people in the community who do go to our church who have said, they would love to come to church, but we don't require masks, and vice versa. They love that we don't require masks. But I appeal to you to stay united under the gospel, stay united under the Holy Spirit, seek God's wisdom, have your guidance through the Spirit. Remind yourself that you're a co-worker in Christ, that we're not rivals in the ministry. So division in the church, it can seep in ever so slightly. And that's what Paul is appealing to the church of Corinth. And that's what I'm appealing to our church today. And that we stay faithful to the gospel. I'd like to invite you to open up your Bibles. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 13. Oops, I lost my place, guys. I'm so sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, I apologize. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of the gospel. Moreover, it is required of a steward that they be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself. For I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I'm not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judged me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to the light the things now hidden in the darkness, and will disclose the purpose of the heart. Then each one will receive his condemnation from God. I've applied all these things in myself and in Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. Without us you have become kings. And would that you did reign, so that we might share the rule with you. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we are disreputed. Excuse me. To the present hour, we hunger, we thirst, we are poorly dressed, we are befuddled, and we are homeless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world. The refuge of all things. The refuse of all things, excuse me. Let's pray real quick. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to be gathering together in your midst, in your throne of grace. And I invite your Holy Spirit to come in this morning and minister to our hearts, Lord. Minister to us in such a way that we find our foundation in the Gospels and we remind ourselves the importance of staying faithful to the Gospel and to the ministry. And Father, we just thank you again for your love and your grace and your mercy that you have on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to go through three things today. I'll name them off here for you, and then we'll jump right in. I didn't realize my wife was coming, so it was great to see her out there. We're going to go through three things today. In order to stay faithful, it's important to stay focused. It's important to stay humble. And it's important to keep your eyes on the cross. Let's begin with verses 1 through 2. I'll reread it for us. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required of a steward that they be found faithful. So who is a steward and who's a minister? And how are they together, and how are they different or are they not different? When Paul is talking to them about stewardship, it was very common in that time to have a steward of the household. And the steward of the household was in charge of all things in the home. They made sure that the laundry was getting done. They made sure that food was ready for when the master came home. They made sure that things were prepared adequately for company when they came to visit. They were the number two. Fully in charge, fully faithful. They had responsibilities and the power to make executive decisions. And we have that same calling, Paul tells us here. We have the same responsibility, the same power to make executive decisions in the gospel, to be stewards of the gospel, to allow to have gospel access for everyone, not to hold it in so that we can have these, I'm going to wear a mask and I'm not going to wear a mask. Type of conversations, but we want people to come to know Christ and have a transformative life with or without a mask. Am I right? Thank you for the amen. So our faithfulness, we're supposed to be faithful to the gospel, like I said. Give full gospel access to everyone. This is who we are. We're stewards of the gospel. I'm just going to move a little bit over here. I have my tape so I know how far I can walk. Your faithfulness. Thank you, Noah. I'm so sorry. Your faithfulness is to give everyone full access to this gospel. Ian, through your photography, you can give people full access to the gospel. Rachel, as you teach, you can give access to the gospel to the little ones. Billy, as you're hitting the keys up here, you're bringing full gospel access to all of us. What we do in our work matters. But we're meant to be faithful stewards of the gospel. And we're appealed to bring that forward. So our responsibility that God invites us into as ministers and stewards of the gospel is always challenged by danger to fluff our ego. But it's through humility where we can achieve more for the kingdom. Let's look at verses 3 through 5. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring light to the things now hidden in the darkness and will disclose the purpose of the heart. Then each one will receive his condemnation. You see, Paul uses this word judgment many times in these few passages. And the word judgment here isn't what he's trying to tell everyone. Is that the definition that I found here is to judge or to determine the excellence or defects of a person or anything. Oftentimes we find ourselves, when we start fluffing our ego, when Paul says, I don't even judge myself, I've been falling victim to being in front of the mirror and saying, you know what, you got it. You got it going on, it's all good. You got the right shirt on today. You know what you're doing, and you're just gonna go in there and you're gonna command the room, and you got this. It's all good, Danny. You're the man, and no one else. Everyone answers to you. I can't tell you how many times I've said that and walked away, and the Lord hit me in the face and been like, excuse me, what are you saying? Is it not that I who brought you out? Why do you boast in such a way? Don't determine the excellence or defects of another person. It is not up to you to judge. It's up to you to be a minister and a steward of the gospel. Before I came to Clay House, I was doing a lot of work in the inner city. And it was a lot of fun because I kind of came, my background, I put myself in like inner city situations and problems and lived that lifestyle for a long time before I really gave my life to Christ. And doing ministry in the inner city, I always remember people talking to me about, don't you just like that, you know, they're like cussing all the time, or like they smoke cigarettes, and just rude behavior. And I was like, I would think to myself, no, I feel very comfortable with that. It's not me, the judge. How am I supposed to tell them about King Jesus, who can transform their life, but also put them down for these behavior modifications? I'm not there to be a behavior modifier. I'm there to usher people into Christ, into the gospel. And it's not my responsibility to change those behaviors. It's this conviction of the Holy Spirit that will change them eventually. But I'm called to judge. I'm not called to judge. I'm called to love and to administer this full gospel access. And the same thing happens up here in the north side of town, except we have difference of opinions in other things. I go back to the mask or no masks. I remember last Sunday we went to Sprouts and they all of a sudden required masks, and thankfully they had one. And I'd admit I was a little like put off by it, but put the mask on. We had to buy baby food, so there was no going back. I had to go in, mask without mask. So I went in, bought my food, came out. And I'll tell you what, there was a gentleman in the parking lot, enraged. And I just remember hearing his frustration and also hearing how his faith played into it. And I thought to myself, okay, I get your point. And I said, Lord, I get upset too when I get on my social media and I see all these things happening in the world and I hear all of these arguments going on. I get sad and then I get mad, and then I'm reminded that I'm no better. I'm no better than the other person. When I start feeling that way, I'm recognizing, oh, I'm starting to conflate myself against them. I'm starting to judge them. And it's the Lord who brings me back and reminds me, like, you're a scum just like they are, but through me, you're more than conquerors. Through me, you're a citizen of the kingdom. Through me, the inheritance of the kingdom is yours. What a beautiful thing. I like to think of it as a beautiful thing. So Paul asks us here, life's not a popularity contest. It's not a popularity contest. This isn't on who can wear a mask better than someone else or who has better policies in their company on how they do their COVID-19 procedures. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with which churches are open and which churches are closed or what churches decide to do their ministry. It's not a popularity contest. As I said earlier, division can seep in ever so slightly, and when it seeps in, it doesn't even seem like division at all. And that's when we're trapped. That's when we're trapped, because the serpent came up to Eve and asked her, "Did God really say you wouldn't die?" Just twisting it so little enough to be convinced to take from the tree and eat from it. And the same thing happens when division seeps into the church. So I just appeal to you. Life's too short. Life is way too short. COVID-19 has stripped us down, brought us back up in such a different way. And it's a beautiful thing what the Lord can do as he's refining his church. And we're realizing that life's too short. So I plead to you, this isn't a popularity contest on who does what better. Don't let that seep into your heart. Don't let that seep into your heart. Stay humble. Stay humble, not judgmental. Amen? So, there's a loss of spiritual inheritance when we allow the pride of life to seep in ever so slightly. And I keep using that term again, ever so slightly, because it is ever so slightly. So when we start looking over our gospel lens, when I start looking over my gospel lens and choosing who gets it and who doesn't, it's an opportunity to recheck and put the gospel lens all the way back up, push them up. My son just got glasses and they slowly fall and I watch him push them up. It's really cute. It's a cute thing because it helps him see better. And so when we push our gospel lens back up, it helps us see better what's going on. It reminds us that people need the word, people need the gospel just as much as we do. Let's move on to verses 7 through 8. Sorry for the wind. Excuse me, 6 through 8. So Paul says, "I've applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you then received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" The Corinthians were dealing with a issue of the pride of life, as I was saying. Because of grace, they just felt like they were able to live life to the fullest, and to the fullest meant doing whatever they wanted. And it's okay, because I'm saved by grace, so I can do whatever I want, and I can act however I want, and I can conduct myself however I want, and I can go to the different temples and worship different idols and still be saved by grace, because I'm living like a king. The Lord has already come. He's died for me. What else is there more to do? Now, this is the issue that was going on within the Corinthian church. They were puffed up, almost like a smug, very smug about their newfound faith, very smug about their newfound life in the gospel. How many times have we ran into someone who's kind of the same way, and we just have that taste in our mouth, like, "Why are you so smug, bro? What's that all about?" Because of my work, I do a lot of different events for our denomination, the Christian Missionary Alliance. And I've had some really good opportunity to be behind the scenes and what's going on. And because of that, I also get to meet these different leaders and speakers. And You can always tell which ones are puffed up and smugged up. And it hurts. It breaks my heart. I don't get like mad at them. I just get mad and I say, Lord, why? It breaks my heart to see. Sorry, I keep hearing the ring and I keep pausing because I don't want the feedback to happen. It breaks my heart to see when people take what's been freely given to them and boast about it as if they struck gold, which they did struck gold, but they're not letting that gold come out of them into others. They're holding it back and they're putting themselves on a pedestal saying, check me out. Check Apollos out. He's the one. Check Cephas out. He's the one. No. Paul, that's the one. And then there were some in the church also that were saying, hey guys, didn't Paul tell us about Jesus Christ? Isn't this what this is all about? Jesus Christ? Amen? So they were arrogantly presuming that all of their heavenly rights were there and given and that they could live out this heavenly lifestyle. When they're still broken people, and we're still broken people, and we won't get that full combination until the Lord's return, and that's what Paul is telling the church here. When God comes, the things of our heart will be put into the light. And then true judgment will come out. I appeal to you to bring those out into the light now. It's so much easier to live in the light. And there's so much healing that brings into the light. And that allows us to be better ministers of the gospel and bringing other people into that healing of the light. Amen? So, we stay focused on our call of life. We stay focused there. We stay humble. And then we focus on the cross. Because it's the cross that gives us all things. It's the cross that allows us to stay focused and stay humble despite the circumstances of the world. This world has changed completely and things will never be the same. I remember when 9/11 happened and I remember hearing the same thing. Things will never be the same. And we all experience it when we go through TSA and get our bag searched and everything like that. It's never going to be the same. But it's the cross that allows us to stay focused. Despite what happens. Because of the sacrifice given on the cross, we are now freely entering into the throne of grace, coming to our Abba, Father, and letting Him hold us in our arms and stay rooted in there and knowing that others can come in. So it's always fun when I have my son, I walk by the playroom and he sees me and he screams, Dad, Dad! And he's saying dada a lot, and I don't know if he's really just calling me or if this is just something that he's doing, but I like to think he's talking to me. So he says dada all the time. He's like, dada, dada. And I come over, and I'm like, yes, my son. And he just puts his arms up to me, and it's such a cool thing. And I've always wanted this for myself because I've always wanted to be a dad, even from a young age. So those who are parents and have kids or grandparents and know the feeling of when your child lifts their arms up and say, can you please hold me? And that's how I feel how the church is right now. Lord, can you please hold us? God, refine us, hold us in tight in your love so when we're ready, you can release us back into the world and change and bring more people to the word, bring more people to the gospel. And this is our call in life. No matter how we do it, no matter how we do it, whether you're in the military, whether you're working for a nonprofit, or you're working for a sweet tech company. Everyone has a responsibility to be the steward faithful of the gospel. Or even when you're taking road trips with your friends through different states like California or visiting San Francisco or LA. Caleb Kern just came back from that, and so I was making sure he was paying attention. Just kidding. He had the responsibility to be a faithful witness and usher people into the gospel wherever he went. And it's so great to see our teenagers be raised up in the gospel and be willing to share their faith with others and bring them in. I can't tell you how many times we're out together with the teens and people ask, what are you guys doing? Who are you with? And they're like, oh, we're part of a church and we're here with a youth group. You should join us. This is great. They have this love for the church. They have the love for the gospel. And they want people to be part of that love. And somehow it changes when we get to be adults. It's this... that same love kind of dissipates, but we get this refinement that's happening right now. We get this refinement that we all have access to. So I plead to you, embrace the refinement that the Lord has for you so you can be sent out into the world and change the world. And changing the world is a great thing. Because the earth will somehow always see us as scum. So let me read to you 9 through 13. And when you hear, For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death because you have become a spectacle in Christ. We are now weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, and we are disreputed. To the present hour, we hunger and we thirst. We are poorly dressed and befuddled and homeless, and we labor, working with our hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the earth, the refuse of all things. You know, when Christ was sitting on the mount, and he gave this wonderful sermon on the mount, and he talked about turning the other cheek, or going the extra mile with another, or giving the other cloak, it was kind of hard to fathom these kinds of teachings in that time. And right after that teaching happens, he gets arrested, he gets punched in the face, he gets, the cat of nine tails comes out and he gets lashed, he gets pinned up on the cross, stabbed on the side, bleeds out completely, and he shows everyone, this is what I want you to do. Turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, share your cloak. Paul reminds us that we'll always be considered scum of the earth, and that's okay. It's okay to be scum of the earth in the world's eyes, as long as we're being guided by the Holy Spirit, trusting in God's wisdom, staying focused, staying humble, and keeping our eyes on the cross. See, what Paul is doing now is he's using what's happening in their world. Criminals would be taken into the Colosseum. They'd be thrown to lions. Gladiators would fight to the death. And he's using satire here with everyone, letting them know, this is what it is. This is what I'm asking you to call into. This is what I'm asking you to stay faithful for, because it's going to be hard being faithful to the gospel. You will always be tested. It will always be a test. When Satan enters the court and he says, Lord, Job has it all, and he only has it all because you gave it to him, I bet he doesn't praise you if you allow this to happen. You see, when we encounter our faithfulness being tested, be sure that God is allowing that to happen because he knows your faithfulness. Prove him right. Prove him right. And it's hard. Oh my gosh, it's so hard. I'll tell you what, these last 5 years, not because I've been married these last 5 years, it's actually been really fun being married these last 5 years. But in these last 5 years, as my wife and I have been exploring ministry and realizing the call of on our life, it's hard when you see the underbelly of a lot of things. And knowing that you're called into that, because it's much easier to do the easiest thing. But we know that the Lord had called us, and we're tested in that. And we know if as long as we keep moving forward in the gospel and in our calling and our life, then we can stand firm on the cross. Because it's at the foot of the cross where our entire value as a human being has become known. No matter what happens in your life, you are always going to be enough in Christ's eyes. Your identity is rooted in the cross. So it doesn't matter if you sent out the right photo shoot and they didn't like it, or if you messed up on your financial reports and you get in trouble at work, or you hit the wrong note while you're playing up here in the worship team, or you're fumbling through a sermon, as I've done in the past before and will do continuously because I'm still learning the game up here, or when you mess up with your friends, when you mess up with your family members, when you hurt one another, your worth is found in the gospel. Your worth is found at the cross. And when we lean back into the cross, we know that we're enough and we can move forward and learn from the mistake and walk side in step. So Paul tells us that we're going to be made a grand spectacle in the Colosseum one day. Your faith will be tested, and it's important to stay faithful. Now, I'm not saying by staying focused and by staying humble and by keeping your eyes on the cross, this is the exact formula that will push out faithfulness. This is more of a sounding board. This is more of a baseline for you to follow. Revert back to the gospel lens and say, Lord, am I being focused here? Am I being faithful here? Excuse me, humble? Am I keeping my eyes on the cross? Or is there anything inside of me that you want me to change? Has something seeped in ever so slightly to cause division in my heart or angst towards one another? As we close, I'd like to call the worship team up. Sorry I didn't give you guys a cue earlier. There was a lot going on as we were trying to get ready. As we close, I just want to encourage you, church. Things are going to be different from now on. And some might think, and I've thought this myself, things won't get better until after the election. We don't know that. We don't know that. But I admonish you guys and plead to you guys to stay faithful to the gospel. Stay true in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Seek the Lord's wisdom and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Come together as co-workers in the ministry and not as rivals. And build everything up from the gospel foundation. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning that we got to be outside and that it wasn't too hot for us. We thank you for the access of the gospel that you gave us and the calling that you have on our life to be stewards and ministers of this gospel. Lord, I just pray for repentance in my own heart towards the animosity that I have felt towards others because of this whole pandemic. Thank you for reminding me that I'm no better than them and that I'm a scum of the earth just like them. But through you, there is victory through Jesus Christ. Amen.